This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you.
Aloha.
And you want to introduce our next guests?
I do.
Well, our guest for this evening.
Yes. So the Vic Prep trial has started under the auspices of the lovely Professor Edwina Wright. It is the first study in Victoria to determine things like the uptake and pattern of use of PrEP. For those at risk of contracting HIV. It also studies things like treatment adherence. One of the big issues that people have raised with PrEP is, how is a gay man going to remember to take a pill once a day? Because that's way, obviously, too much for some men. Feasibility and factors into providing PrEP to Victorians. Acceptability of the medication. Obviously, you know, this is the use of antiretroviral therapy in people who are HIV negative to prevent them from contracting HIV. So what is the what are the side effects for somebody who doesn't have HIV? And then obviously to measure the risk of HIV infection in people who are on PrEP. What is the prevalence?
So there's 100 guys doing the PrEP study across Victoria, and we've got two of them in the studio tonight. Al and John, good evening.
How are you?
Evening.
So let's kick it off. Al, let's start with you. How did you hear about the study?
Good question. I think I heard about it through friends, and definitely more awareness of it in the States where I've been travelling recently.
And so what did you heard about PrEP?
What a lot of people have really heard about recently is a pill you take once a day, and through a combination of a pill and safer sex practices, can dramatically lower your risk of an HIV infection.
And Jono, what about you? How did you hear about it?
Well, I guess I knew about PrEP from mainly my involvement in the gay community and doing stuff here at Joy. I mean, we do all the World AIDS broadcasts and all that sort of thing. So I feel like I'm fairly knowledgeable on HIV and medication, that sort of thing. So I heard about the study, I think, just either through talking to people something I heard on Joy or through the local gay publications, and thought, yeah, this is something that I would happily try.
Have you guys done medical studies before?
Not personally, no.
No, this will be your first.
We'll start with Jono. What was your motivation for actually becoming involved? What did you want to get out of the trial, if you like?
For me personally, it was to reduce my own risk, because I do have a lot of sexual play, which is I think that I take precautions myself, but it's not always protected, if you like. I don't always use condoms. Mm-hmm. I also have sex with a lot of people that I know are HIV positive. Mm-hmm. So part of it was protecting myself. I guess the other side of it was, I'm always happy to help out with a community trial or anything the community is trying to do. I mean, I know a lot of people that are HIV positive. I know a lot of people that are horribly scared of HIV. And so anything that I can sort of do down to sort of to break down stigma or help with new drug trials or anything, I'm certainly wanting to be involved in.
And Al, what about you? What was the motivation for you?
Yeah, I'd say it was really much the same. I think it's really good that HIV-negative men have a chance to play, to be part of the solution. And it's certainly been a really good experience. I'm certainly quite open about it on the radio, on my online profiles, and with friends. And it's been really interesting. There's been a lot of discussion that's come up. Even people who have just seen me from all around the world with it in my profile have come up and asked, what is PrEP? How do I get on it? What's it all about? Have you found it? Do you have side effects?
Cool.
So it's been really, really interesting to be involved in educating others as well.
Yeah, I think it's really important that so many people don't know about it, because I've got it on my profiles too, online, and I've got a lot of people. I actually say on my profile I'm on PrEP, and if you don't know what that is, ask me. Mm. And a lot of people do. They don't necessarily want to shag me. They actually just want to ask the question, what is this PrEP thing that you're on? And so I'm more than happy to tell them.
Has it surprised you how many guys online don't know what PrEP is?
Yes. And I even found HIV-positive people that didn't know what it was, and I'm like, I'm on the same pills as you. why do you know what this is, you know?
Do you find it interesting, as you say, there are some HIV-positive guys who hadn't heard of PrEP. Had they heard of PEP? Had you gone into the discussions of PEP as well? So PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis?
I had used PEP once in the past myself, so I knew about it, and that's why I knew that going on to PrEP, which is effectively the same drug, I wasn't really going to have any side effects from it, because I hadn't had side effects from PEP. So I wasn't at all anxious or nervous about taking PrEP. I don't know about you.
No, I think I'm pretty much in the same boat.
So you both of you had been on a course of PEP before you did the trial?
I had once, a couple of years ago.
Al, had you
myself, I haven't, no.
Okay, so if we talk about that occasion, Jono, what was your thinking going into a PEP course of treatment? Because obviously you'd done it after a particularly interesting sexual encounter where you thought, you know what, probably wasn't the safest I've ever been in my life. I should take responsibility for this. But what was your thinking around going on PEP at that point?
On PEP at that point was I had a risky sexual encounter, which I like to think that I always sort of maintain control of my sexual encounters. And sure, I've had, before being on the drugs, I've had unprotected sex with HIV positive people, but I've always sort of been in control and know their status, etc. This one sexual encounter I had, I didn't know what their status was. I didn't know whether their viral load was high or whether they even had HIV. So I was concerned for myself, and that's why I originally did the PEP one.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're chatting with Jono and Al about the PrEP study. If you don't join in the conversation, 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. If you're a Joy member, you can go into the draw to win a double pass to the Black Ball 2014.
Well, you'll probably see almost all of us.
Exactly.
So if you want to meet the lovely Jono now.
No, I'm going to be on a train to Shepparton.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. I saw the pictures of
that's
that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, a very conflicting weekend.
So what was the intake process, and what's the process from here on about taking the meds and testing, I suppose?
Sure. So it was, for myself, it was quite lucky to get the very last spot on the trial.
Oh, wow.
It was something that I was toying the idea with for quite some time. It was only after having discussions around side effects with an HIV positive partner of mine that I thought, well, this is actually a great opportunity to get involved and to lower my risk. So to get on, I spoke to the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, had an appointment with them. There was a regular screening session for STDs. And then quite surprisingly short interview with a doctor going over risk factors, whether I'd be actually suitable to be on the trial. Because obviously the trial itself is funded out of research grants. So they want to make sure that they're getting a really good cross-section of the community.
Yep. Do you have to have a certain amount of sex to qualify?
I'm not quite sure. But,
is there a piece of paper that you have to tick off? Right, I've had my 72 sexual encounters today.
No,
funny, I think eyebrow raised.
Some of my friends think that. They're like, does this mean you've got to go out and have like lots of sex with HIV positive people? And I'm like, no, that doesn't mean that at all. No, that's not what the trial's about.
But I imagine that the intake process would try and eliminate or disqualify people who would have no sex during the trial period. Obviously, the point of the trial is to understand the implications for the population most at risk, to use the research term.
I guess so. And I mean, I had heard about the trial long before it started, and so I was on to the people. I'd emailed them, said, I hear this trial's coming up, I want to be on it. And I hassled them until they finally said, it's open now, and I phoned my doctor straight away and said, I want to be on this trial. And I was number four, so I was right at the forefront of the trial. But I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess they're not, you know, going to give it to someone that doesn't have any sex. And they also, before the trial, said they didn't really want to give it to people that were in a monogamous relationship with someone HIV positive that had a low viral load, because there was really not much point.
And there are studies, the opposites attract study, for example, is currently researching that, is what is the risk to the HIV negative partner in a serodiscordant relationship. I'm in that study. So
how long have you been participating, and so when did you start the meds, and what's been your initial reaction to the meds?
I personally, I've been on it for 4 months. I've had no reaction to the meds, and I mean, it hasn't really altered my life in any way. And that's one of the things, after we started the study, I had the option of doing the hour-long interview with some of the study coordinators, where they actually sit down and talk to you about it. And one of the things they sort of kept saying was, how do you feel about taking the meds, and what goes through your mind when you take the meds, and that sort of thing. And I'm like, well, nothing for me personally. It's like I said, I get up in the morning, I take a multivitamin, I go to bed at night, I take PrEP. It's just part of the day. I've never forgotten to take a dose in 4 months. They sit by my bed. And
you mentioned multivitamins there. Were you in a regular routine of taking them anyway?
Yeah. Each morning.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. And now, what about you? Were you used to taking some form of even a multivitamin every morning?
I'm terrible with my multivitamins. They sit in the pantry. And anybody who you'll ask my housemate, I forget everything. He knows where my keys are more than I do. I run around the house every morning searching for things, which is why I take PrEP at night. And I found I've got a reminder on my phone, which does help sometimes. But likewise, I've never forgotten to take a dose.
Cool.
And I haven't had an issue taking pills. Has it been a thought process that's gone through it?
And no, for you, no physical symptoms, no...
Not so much physical.
Psychological or anything like that?
I did for 2 weeks have amazingly intense dreams.
Okay.
Exceptionally vivid. I wake up every morning going, well, that was exhausting.
I've got a whole year of this.
which is kind of interesting for somebody who's on antiretrovirals. It's interesting because the drug that you guys are on for the PrEP trial is usually not associated with those kinds of dreams. The drug that I was on originally is, and it was fantastic. By the way, if you want to maximize those, just have something to eat just before you take them. Score.
Mm. Okay, remember that.
Yeah, fantastic. I used to ride the wave. It was great. In fact, you mentioned, Jono, earlier the World AIDS Day worldwide broadcast that we did for Joy's 20th birthday last year. And that was a 24-hour broadcast. And obviously, during that, I had to take that medication. Mm. So you ask everyone here, there was 45 minutes where I was in cloud loopy land.
Right.
Fantastic.
But as you guys are saying, apart from LU getting some dreams for a couple of weeks, that's been the only side effect you guys have had.
I've had no side effects from it. Yeah, none at all.
Yeah, aside from that, nothing. Not even an upset stomach.
Cool.
Have you guys worried about adherence? I mean, you've both said you haven't forgotten to take a dose in 4 months. How long have you been on it, Al?
Probably about 3 weeks now.
Okay. Does adherence worry you?
No. No, because I don't think I'd forget to take a dose. And I mean, a lot of the trials say that you still have a 96% success rate even if you only take it 4 times a week. So if I did miss a dose once, then I probably wouldn't worry too much. I'm hoping that I don't, but I wouldn't be terribly worried if I did miss one night.
Would you, and one of the things that a lot of these PrEP trials, particularly the IPAGAY trial in France, is studying is the concept of on-demand PrEP, for want of a better term. Essentially, the study was going along the clinical trials of just before the day of and the day after, and kind of working out what the implications of on-demand PrEP would be.
Which I don't like. Personally, I read about that because you've got to plan that you're going to go out and have unprotected sex on the weekend.
But not necessarily unprotected sex. It lowers your risk of HIV infection regardless of the nature of the sex that you're having, whether it's better protected through the use of condoms, whether it may not even be penetrative sex. I mean, if you think about sort of sexually adventurous practices, fisting and sounding and BDSM, there are times where you want to lower your risk of bloodborne virus transmission regardless of the nature. And, you know, if you think you're going to have a fisting session or a BDSM session, you can't put a condom on a whip.
True, but on the same count, I would rather take it every day, like I'm doing at the moment, because then I know that sort of whatever I do, I've got the PrEP in my system. Whereas say I wasn't on PrEP, but I had the on-demand thing, I'd be thinking, well, this weekend I'm going on a train trip to Shepparton. There's a chance I could have too many drinks in the dining car, and then I could end up shagging someone unprotected behind the railway bushes. Should I take PrEP on Friday just in case, and then remember to take it afterwards? I don't have to have that worry. Yeah. Or that thought, because I'm on it all the time.
But of course, the implications of permanent PrEP is the cost.
Mm.
And these are not cheap medications.
No.
Hide and seek.
We are speaking about PrEP with Al and John. Now, both of you said before that you've got you deliberately state on your online profiles that you are using PrEP. So, what has been the reaction from the community? John, let's start with you.
Well, I originally only put it on one of my profiles, and then I decided definitely going to put it on all of them because it's not controversial is the wrong word, but it's just, I like to put it all out there. So I actually wanted to see what the reaction was and how many people were going to sort of say, what is this? So I get types of people. I get some people that say, great, you're on PrEP. That's really good. I get a lot of people that say, how did you get it? And how can I get it?
Yep.
A lot of people asking what it is. But then you also get the people that don't want to have sex with you because you're on it.
Right.
So people that say that they only practice what they call safe sex, as in they only have sex with condoms, and therefore because I'm on PrEP, I must be someone that has sex without condoms occasionally, and even though I may want to have sex with this particular person with a condom, they don't want to have sex with me because I'm a bad person because sometimes I have sex without condoms.
And Al, what about you?
Yeah, the reaction's been really positive, and much the same, everyone's been quite curious, and the volume of people that have been curious surprised me. But there was an incident probably late last week which didn't shock me. It actually made me laugh, and I was wondering how long it'd take to happen, but I had a young fella actually call me Truvada whore, which is a term I've heard thrown around a lot in America.
Yep.
Generally is a term of endearment, but it's also a nice way to kind of shrug and laugh off the attacks that generally come with a controversial treatment. So that was a bit of a...
Was it malicious?
Oh, incredibly malicious.
Yep.
It didn't affect me the way I thought it would. I thought I'd actually be quite taken back and upset the day that somebody actually took a stab at me for something like PrEP. But I think I handled it quite well.
Truvada whore is obviously a term that was coined by the head of the AIDS Foundation.
The anti-PrEP brigade.
Yeah. Weinstein in the US. And there is that... I'm not going to use the word perception, but there is that presentation that somebody who would go on PrEP is a, you know, pass around party bottom, essentially.
I've been called worse.
that can go on the back of the Truvada whore t-shirt. Yeah.
I like that term.
Yeah. But, you know, has it, and I'm going to ask the question sort of in a roundabout way, has going on the trial changed your sexual practice in any way?
A little bit, but not much.
How so?
I feel like I've got an extra, like, sort of barrier there. So I'm generally really careful one with sex, is from the fact that I don't always use condoms, but I generally know my partner's status and know that they've got an undetectable viral load, etc. Now I'm not so concerned about that. I wouldn't be a pass-around party bottom at a sauna, okay?
Yeah.
Prior to being on PrEP. I did go to Sydney a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of bad. And I did things which I probably wouldn't have done if I'd not been on PrEP at that stage. But that was the only time. And I guess I felt an extra sense of security. I thought, well, actually, I can do this because I'm on PrEP.
And that's what we found during AIDS 2014, we had the guys from one of the universities in California here talking to James and myself about the PrEP study and the study into guys taking PrEP in San Francisco. And they said something similar in that guys felt a lot more liberated in regards to their practices. You're nodding away.
This is not a visual medium.
This is not a visual medium. Which is, have you felt liberated?
Wouldn't say liberated, but I certainly feel a greater sense of security.
Yeah.
I know I'm not always perfect. As much as I can preach safer sex practices to the cows come home, I know there are times where I have lapses in judgment, and it's also enabled me to have unprotected sex with close HIV positive partners of mine.
Yep.
Which is something that, even though I knew the risks were quite low, I still wasn't particularly comfortable with at that stage. I think it certainly liberated me to have probably more intimate relationships with them.
I wonder, though, then what you were saying you were laughing at being called a Truvada whore, which is, I've been called it too, which is great. I said I've never been paid money, so half of that is untrue. Hmm. But do you worry that perception will impact the uptake of PrEP in the broader community?
Certainly. I think it's certainly the stigma issue is something we deal with every day in most of our lives, being queer men ourselves. But I think it's something we're well used to as well. But the issue of Truvada whore and the issue of being slandered in public or even in private is something that was terrifying. But once it happened, it wasn't as scary.
But I find the difference with this particular slur is it's being used by gay men on other gay men.
Mm.
So this is a internal community issue where we have some gay men who don't believe in a miracle drug. And safer sex to them is condoms, 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 only condoms, which is great. I mean, whatever safer sex practice you like, use it. As long as you use it and you're effective, fantastic. But I wonder about the impact of their perceptions on the broader community.
Well, I think sometimes, like, there's sort of two sides, because sometimes you say, well, you should just take an insult and own it, shouldn't you? So now people have got these t-shirts that say Truvada whore.
Yeah.
And it's like, on one hand, we should be discouraging the community from using terms like that, because if someone calls me a Truvada whore, I'm not going to care, I'll laugh it off and say, buy me the t-shirt. But other people are going to be really affected by that, and it's going to put a negative stigma on the drug. So I sort of think that we probably shouldn't be having the t-shirt saying Truvada whore, because we shouldn't really be stigmatizing the drug, because some people, well, it won't affect me if someone calls it me that, but other people may be affected and put off the drug because of that term.
A thought experiment was pitched to me a couple of months ago, that if in the early late 80s, early 90s, if somebody had come to the AIDS activists at the time and said, we've created a pill that you take once a day and it reduces your chance of HIV infection by up to 96%, everyone would have been on it instantaneously.
Yeah.
Do you think the struggle and the trauma and the deaths that we went through the decades of no to bad to mediocre to finally good HIV treatment has now impacted this idea of once a day pill?
To some extent, I think so. But I think that to the same extent that some people, and I'm not trying to be ageist here, but some of the older generation that went through that are a little bit anti the fact that we can now take a pill and not get it. But I think that, well, I don't agree with that. I mean, I grew up with that. I mean, I saw it on my TV. I read about it in the papers. You know, I've been out and gay for 20 years. 20 years ago, there were still people dying of HIV. So I've seen all that. And, you know, I think that we've got a pill now that's going to help protect me. I think that that's great news. I think we should be celebrating these advances, not, you know, criticising, but it's still at the same time still remembering all those people that didn't have access to this drug 20 years ago.
And because it does, you know, raise the concern of what I like to call mainstream gays, who are going, you know, marriage equality is a big fight, but there is this normalization that appears to be going on where the idea of having multiple sexual partners in a single event, being more liberated with your sexual activities is now starting to get a negative connotation, even within our own community. And this is feeding into that same thing. You're taking this pill so that you can be a bigger slut, is the argument.
Well, to be fair, I'd still be the same slut whether I was taking the pill or not. And because that's where I am at life at the moment. One day, in a year's time, I may be settled down with someone in a monogamous relationship and not having extra sex. Then I probably, and if they're negative or if they're undetectable, then I'm probably not going to need PrEP. But where I am in life at the moment, I'm single, I'm traveling a lot, I'm out and about, and I am having a lot of sex, and it's not always a protected sex. PrEP is right for me where I am in my place in life at the moment.
Now, guys, as we almost wrap it up, Al, we've got a question for you. Do you think that given the feedback that's coming through on your social media, that there is a really strong demand from the community for PrEP to be available to all?
Certainly. I think the people who have been, the number of people who have messaged me and have been highly disappointed in the fact that it isn't available in Australia, and it certainly isn't available outside of Victoria at the moment.
Yep.
There's been a lot of people from New South Wales who have contacted me about can you get it if you're in state, when's it coming?
Yeah.
So I see there being a huge demand for this, and it's almost evidenced by people in communities such as San Fran and New York, where I would say almost 1 in 4 people online are very active in disclosing the fact they're on PrEP.
And it's a 12-month trial, is that right?
It is.
Yes, and so have you been told what happens at the end of your 12 months?
We have to be.
You have to be kicked off it. Yeah.
Well, I believe they are working on something for people that are on it. But at the moment, yes, it ends in 12 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Avi, as you said, it costs a lot of money.
Mm.
What's an average?
I snuck a peek at Al's bottle of Truvada when I saw it, because when I get my medication, they print the price on it.
Oh, really?
Which is fantastic.
They don't for us.
No, they don't for yours, because it's trial medication.
And it's been actually supplied by the drug company for free.
Correct.
Yeah.
But for me, a course of Truvada is, I think the last $1,800 a month per bottle. So $1,800 per 30-day bottle.
Mm.
And that's one of the two drugs I take. The other drug is more expensive.
And guys, so you've got, well, John, you've been on it for 4 months already, so you've only got 8 months to go.
Are you getting calculated here? How much money it's going to cost me? Yeah.
And Al, but you've only really just started, but less than a month ago, so you'll be going for another 11 months.
Certainly.
So we might have to get you back in and find out how it's all gone. What has been your...
You managed to get pregnant during the trial, we want to know.
Exactly. Alan, John, any last words? Obviously, that's a key question is if within the next 12 months I said, yes, it's going to be now generally available, I'm taking it from the conversation, you'd keep going.
Certainly.
I would certainly stay on it. And I think, like I was saying before, that a lot of people want the drug, and I've noticed that too, that I actually feel really privileged to be on it. I think I'm quite lucky, and I am privileged to be one of the 100 people that's got the opportunity to take it.
I have possibly a final question, because we're rapidly running out of time, but has it changed your perception of what HIV positive guys go through?
Yes. Quite a lot, actually.
How so?
Yeah.
The idea of taking a pill once a day wasn't particularly scary, but it was very foreign for me. The most I've ever had is 2 weeks of antibiotics, for example. And having HIV positive friends, HIV positive partners, and dealing with people, the staff at Melbourne Sexual Health Clinics, really, probably only in the past 3 months has it really have I become quite happy and quite comfortable with HIV in the community, HIV positive people, what it means to be HIV positive from experiences. And I've completely forgotten where we come with that question.
Well, no, has it changed your perception?
Yeah.
Not personally for me, but then I think that's because I know so many HIV-positive people, and also I've been in relationships with HIV-positive people, so I've seen people that take a pill once a day, so it hasn't personally changed my perception at all, because I think I had a pretty good perception in the first place.
Do you think, assuming a worst-case scenario, and for some reason you actually did contract HIV, do you think being on PrEP has lowered your fear of being HIV-positive, potentially?
Yes, but I don't think I ever had a fear in the first place. Like, I'd rather not have it than have it, but I've never had a fear of it as such.
And I would say, that's a really good question.
We ask the good questions right at the end of the show.
It's certainly lowered. It's certainly increased my understanding of the medication. I've done a lot of research on the side into it. I'd still be, whilst not upset upset to a degree, but not terrified, as I thought I would have been maybe a year ago, of seroconverting. But I'm still very concerned about what would be the ramifications of taking antiretroviral therapy for what could be up to 60 to 70 years.
Yeah.
Well, Alan John, big thank you to you both for coming in and talking about this and participating in the trial so that everyone can learn more.
Always a pleasure.
More than welcome.
If you want to know more, find our online dating profile.
And you can at least visit Al if you come to Black Ball on Saturday night.
And Marcello will be coming along to Black Ball as well.
Yes, congratulations, Marcello. You have won our double pass.
That's right. Avi, a big thank you to you for filling in for James this week.
Always a pleasure.
Dean will be joining me next week. Avi, we've got a heap of podcasts that have just been going out gangbusters out the door.
Indeed,
on the website.
Yes, and there's a new one every other day for the next 2 weeks, I think, as well. So we've got a whole raft of them coming up.
We do. joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.